Good morning. Good Friday morning, that is, and welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Ben Rogers. I hope everyone is having a good week and enjoyed a little bit of snow earlier in the week. One individual that has always taken a close look at the weather and what possible impacts it could make on commuters in this region is Captain Robert Christian from the Tennessee Highway Patrol's office here in Cookeville. He is my guest today, and I'm delighted to have him. Good morning, Captain.
Good morning.
I appreciate you being here. How are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome.
Good. Well, I've been wanting to have you on for a while, and our schedules hadn't worked out, but I'm thankful for taking the time this morning because I know your schedule's busy. Before we get into you and some stuff we want to talk about with THP, we just had some snow on Monday morning. I know I live west of Baxter, so it didn't really cause us a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. There was some on the ground, but it went away. But I know there were some problem areas in Putnam County and around Upper mm-hmm. Cumberland. What kind of traffic problems did we have Monday morning?
Well, naturally, when you get, further on the plateau, you know, when you get up towards Monterey and in that area, we had a few little situations up there and on the interstate as well. And beyond that, of course, you know, on towards Cumberland County too. But, as a general rule, you know, we had some slick spots here, you know, around Cookeville and, north, you know, towards, the Overton County line area. We did have some crashes, but it was very manageable, you know, and some situations were not so blessed, but, Monday was something that we were able to take care of, you know, pretty quickly.
So when it snows, you just mentioned a couple areas, is there always going to be the same problem areas most of the time for y'all, that y'all know exactly where to go to and kind of patrol and keep watch?
You know, as a general rule, you do, and I would say a lot of it depends on the geographics, naturally, and you know the areas that, for instance, it could be in the valley and there's not that much there. You get up on the mountain. I can remember one day that I got called out early, and in the valley there was a dusting, and then when I got on the mountain there was like 6 inches, you know, and it just the variance in that. But you adjust for that because you expect it, and you automatically, you know, when it starts to start sending help that way because it's going to be getting busy.
I got to ask, are you a fan of snow?
I like it.
You do like it.
I like it. We don't get enough of it, I would think, to really hurt us. So when it comes, it's calming, you know, and I like, you know, of course, when it gets busy, it's a little bit different. But I will admit, I like a good snow from time to time.
I do, too. I think I told somebody yesterday, they're asking about did we get a lot of snow? And I said, no. I said, I just wish it'd make up his mind sometimes. Snow 6 inches or don't snow at mm-hmm. all. Because I like to see a big snow. I like to be at the house and have a reason to stay home sometimes. My wife hates it. She'd be on the beach right now if she could. But mm-hmm. I like it. I'm with you. Before we get into your career at THP, I want to get to know you a little bit, because this really is the first time you and I've got to talk. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful to our friend Jennifer Wilkerson for setting it up. Where did you grow up at?
I grew up in Van Buren County. My mom and dad, you know, we moved back there, you know, to help take care of family. And, I grew up, you know, up there in the 80s, and my dad was in law enforcement. And which made it rough. You know, you grow up in a small town and your dad's, you know, the chief of police in that small town. Maybe it made me what I am today. And my mom worked for the school system. And, I liked the atmosphere and then enjoyed going to high school up there. And, you know, it was smaller and a very close community. You know, I knew everybody in my class really closely and most of the school at that point, you know, it's not hardly like that now, but that's just kind of how it was back then. But beyond that, I worked in EMS, you know, in the ambulance service. And, you know, I knew a lot of people and still know some very dear friends in that today, you know, here in Putnam County that I worked around that did that then. And I got on the highway patrol in 1989. And, Friday the 8th, this past Friday, I was, that was my 32nd anniversary.
Oh,
I've
wow.
got 32 years on, and I have enjoyed it. I love it. I still enjoy, you know, going to work each day. I will be the first person to admit the challenges have changed
sure.
since then.
Sure.
You know, society's changed, people's changed, everything's changed.
Right.
But so is life.
Right.
You know, life's about change,
right.
and you got to adjust and adapt and overcome.
So we talked before. I love Van Buren County. I've worked there almost 15 years as a consultant with the county officials there, and great people. You know, and it's just a rural county, and the park is a blessing, but it's also a little bit of a curse because it takes away some of the tax base.
Mm-hmm.
But that park has brought in tons of tourism and millions of dollars of people coming in. And of course, we've talked about with other officials on there, the inn is being built, so hopefully the people can come back. But Van Buren County is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just pass through, you don't see the beauty of the whole county.
Right.
You got to get out. And I don't know which part of the county you grew up in Van Buren, but to me, there's so much to offer there, and I'm hoping that they continue to be successful and try to utilize what they have there. I just think it's gorgeous. And I know there's not a whole lot to do in Van Buren County, but there wasn't a whole lot to do in Baxter either when I was growing up. And we made it to Cooville some, but I love that. I love a small town feel.
It's when I got on the patrol, of course, I left and, opened that envelope in the academy, and I was, I went to Williamson County. I don't mind telling you that was kind of a culture shock for our little boy from Spencer. But we moved back in 98, and we actually live in Quebec now, which is where my wife's family hails from. And, we've been down there since then, and we've, just about got our home paid for. So we're really excited about that. But I wouldn't, working in the Nashville area, there's no place I'd rather be here than the Upper Cumberland. I love it here. I mean, this is just a good place to live and raise a family and just do everything that you do.
It really is. And so your family, your mom was an educator.
Mm-hmm.
Your daddy was a law enforcement officer. And so I've said this before on the show. To me, when people think about public service, they think about elected officials. They think about mayors. They think about commissioners or council. They think about legislators. The ultimate public service, I've said this before, is serving a country in the military force, armed forces, being in law enforcement, being a healthcare provider,
right,
and being an educator.
Right.
To me, that's the ultimate goal of public service for people. I will never get there because I'm not smart enough to be a doctor or a nurse. I don't have the skills to be a law enforcement officer, and I passed up the chance to be in the military. I appreciate what you do, so thank you for your service to our community, and thankful to your parents for what they've done, because educating our kids and protecting our kids is two of the most important things I think we can do as a society. So thank you for that. I appreciate everything you and your family have done for that. Did your daddy inspire you to be in law enforcement, I guess? Did you just watch him as the chief of police in Spencer and say, I want to do that one day?
I think public service in general inspired me. I thoroughly enjoyed when I worked in EMS, and we would even respond to calls up there, at that point in time, and it was an adjustment, because, you're going from, you're coming in with the red lights and everybody's glad to see you, then switching to the car with the blue lights on it and people are not so glad to see you.
Right.
But, my dad did inspire me, in many ways when it came to that, and my mom as well. But, I guess like in many of us could say, I had good, firm parents, that loved me and, steered me in the right direction. And, I look now, I see the dividends of that now, obviously so, but I was very blessed there. But he did inspire me, and truthfully, both of them did. And, mom would, wouldn't really, I hate to say, drag me to church when I was younger,
right.
And I thought I was, but in so many ways, I just see now, the intent of what they were trying to do. And, I've tried to deploy that in many ways, being a dad myself, and a husband as well.
How many kids do you have?
I have three.
Three? School? Out of school?
Well, I've got two that's graduated,
okay.
Yeah, and then I've got one that's still at Tech.
Okay. Well, you said you've been there 32 years, so I assume you could have kids that are out of high school, but that's, I think that's great. Good family, man. And before we got on air as well, you talked about farming. So is that a passion of yours?
I do like farming. It's kind of it's a vent, It's somehow where you can kind of relieve yourself, the stress and things of the days. And there's always something unpredictable happening on a farm, And I don't mind telling you, my father-in-law was the one that had the farm, and, he passed away. And, we've kind of picked up to try to keep that tradition going, there. And, we're really that's a very diligent work at all times, farming is.
Yeah, and I don't know if I've talked about this before, but you're sparking some of my memories. When I grew up, of course, my daddy and his family, my grandpa, farmed for part of their living to get by, and then – you know, I'd hear people talk about raising tobacco, and I asked Daddy one day, I was probably 7, 8 years old, so why don't we do tobacco anymore? And apparently in 82, when my grandfather passed away, I was 1.5 years old. Daddy and his brothers basically said, we're not doing tobacco anymore. We've done it all our lives. We hate it. Mm-hmm. We quit. So I worked in the back of some with some friends. I never did it for the family. And then, you know, Daddy had cattle, they had hogs, they had all the farming stuff, chickens and everything. And it was a fairly small farm, but they made it work. But I asked Daddy still to this day, do you miss that? He's like, no. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. I grew up doing it. I grew up milking cows. Mm-hmm. Had to get up at 5 o'clock, 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, do it after school. He says, no, I'm content. We don't need to start farming again. So I've actually thrown it out there to him, and he's not taking the bait. Mm-hmm. So it's good to hear. I want to get to in the next segment and talk about, you know, what's going on at THP and some of the programs and campaigns y'all are doing and anything you can do and to educate and get people out to what y'all are doing. Because I know, like you said, people dread seeing the blue lights. It's to me, again, y'all are there to protect us, and you're there to provide safety for us. You're not there to harm us. And so I appreciate what y'all do, but I want any message you can get out, I want you to be able to deliver it here. You're listening to Local Matters. I hope everybody's having a good morning so far. This has been Rogers. I'll continue with Captain Christian from the Tennessee Highway Patrol. When we come back in just a moment, we'll see you in just a minute.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. This has been Rogers. I'm just delighted to visit with Captain Christian from the Tennessee Highway Patrol office here, and you're in Cookeville.
Yes, sir.
And so, and have you been in Cookeville the whole time? I haven't asked you that.
I worked in the Nashville district for about 9 years.
Okay.
And then I've been back in Cookeville, you know, for the remainder of that. I've been the district captain almost 9 years.
So did you drive back forth?
I do.
To Nashville when you worked there?
No. I lived in Lebanon.
Did you really?
I did. Yeah, I drive back and forth, you know, from where I live now to Cookeville
each
day.
Sure. I didn't know.
Cookeville's my second home, you know.
Yeah. When I lived in Nashville, I worked there for 3 years, and I was like a fish out of water. I just never fit in. So, but we talked about your career, and you know, start out EMS, and then you got on a THP, and so you've been there 32 years, which you don't seem like you're that old. I don't know if you started at 20 or not, but you look like you're very young. What made you pick THP? Did you just thought that's what you want to do instead of staying in city or county law enforcement? Was it just something you wanted to venture out on?
I really wanted to venture out. I looked at the opportunity of it, and you know, it always, you know, looking back and reflecting and thinking about, you know, being a trooper, and it's just something that it was, you know, other than working at the ambulance service, that was my goal in law enforcement. You know, my dad served very faithfully for years, you know, up there, and I respected that so much. But I looked at the excitement, you know, I didn't really plan on going as far as I did right off the bat, as far as going to Williamson County. That was my first duty assignment, like I said earlier. But I love it, you know, and I like the, you know, I know other people, they like investigations. You know, I've always enjoyed looking at crashes and trying to piece them back together. Sure. And figure out how they happened. And you know, you see, it's so vast, you know, what the THP does. It's, you know, people think, well, we just ride around cars and issue citations. It's nothing like that at all. I mean, I really enjoy, you know, what I do. When I decided to get in law enforcement, that's the direction I went. You know, fortunately, there was a class they hired two classes back to back when I was able to get hired. And I will tell you, I was very young when I went to the patrol. I I actually turned 22 in the academy.
Okay.
I sure didn't tell anybody it was my birthday either, man. Right. I mean, I was very quiet about that.
I'm sure. They probably would have hazed you for the whole week.
Absolutely.
Well, that's great, and that's kind of why I ask those questions. I like to know that background because mm-hmm. there's so many areas of law enforcement you can go into, mm-hmm. and I see, you know, I see the big trucks, the investigative trucks that
right.
y'all have, and that's what you're talking about, trying to piece crashes together
right.
and stuff. So I know, I'm sure that's real interesting. We just got the new year and the holiday season. Was New Year's Eve really hectic for y'all this time?
You know, New Year's Eve was moderate.
Okay.
I don't mind telling you, you know, Christmas Eve was even worse. I mean, Christmas Eve, we got the snow, and, you know, we had a few terrible crashes. I don't mind, you know, telling you that you just think about those. But, you know, we got through that. You know, I actually had an officer that got injured, you know, that night. Of course, it was snowing pretty good, you know,
right.
Christmas. Don't get me wrong. I was delighted to see the snow the next day, finally have a white Christmas. But New Year's Eve was very, you know, when I say moderate, I mean, we still had some situations going on. You know, we had checkpoints and, you know, we had people work in particular areas, you know, where looking for impaired drivers, and I don't
sure.
mind telling you that,
sure.
but it was very manageable, you know, I better than some, and it's kind of hard to believe, and I know you respect that, it depends on what day of the week that it falls on,
right.
you know, naturally, and you know, and as that progresses along, it's kind of like, you know, you think of Halloween falling on a Friday or
right.
a Saturday,
right.
it's a little busier, you know, because the availability of people are there, and, you know, this year was, like I said, very manageable, and I still think that, you know, it's very fresh, you know, what happened in Nashville, too.
Sure.
You know, on Christmas Day.
Right.
And that was kind of a harsh realization of, you know, just where we are, you know, in the times that we're into.
Yeah. I didn't get to white Christmas because I was with my wife's family in Spring Hill, so I was mm-hmm. very upset mm-hmm. that I was not home for snow, and she was, too. And we're, like, giving her family a hard time. See, if we didn't have to come here, we'd be having a white Christmas. But we love being with her family as well. But I did not get to experience that. But I know we did have some accidents. So there's good with the bad. There's great white Christmas, but there's also chance for accidents. Thankful New Year's Eve wasn't as bad. This holiday season, we've had COVID. We're still in COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And even the past 2020, have you seen less traveling going on, or has it been about the same?
It's kind of a mixture, you know. You know, and you can revert back, and I think all of us are going to have our memories of 2020, you know, being without a doubt. And the thing that I remember the most, you know, about 2020 is definitely, you know, March the 3rd. I mean, that started out, you know, in the weeks that passed that, you know, what we all dealt with there, never would have dreamed, you know, and as well as I know a lot of the other responders too, what we would have experienced in Putnam County that day. You know, with that, you know, we went straight from what we were dealing with here in Cookeville with the effects of the tornado. We went straight into the COVID mode, mm-hmm. you know, and with that, you know, there was the uncertainty, you know, there, you know, all of a sudden we're scrambling to find, you know, PPE for our people, you know,
right.
so they can have gloves and they can have masks and the things that they need, you know, to perform their job. And definitely anytime you think about that uncertainty, you have to adapt. You have to be able to continue to do your job while performing in that function. And that's a lot of what we had to experience. You know, it was kind of, you know, I'll never forget. I left the office one day and I took a picture, you know, at 4:30 in the afternoon of South Jefferson. And I think I counted 4 cars, you know, on South Jefferson at that time of day, which is just unheard of.
Right.
And it just kind of, all of those things, just the moment kind of sinks into you. And you just kind of see where we are and where things are at. In some instances, I think people felt that law enforcement was not doing as many things. I mean, we had people running in the high, you know, I know one day we got like 3 vehicles, you know, at 100+ on the interstate during when COVID first, you know, came in. I guess the main thing with that, there was a lull in traffic,
sure,
but I think it's come back just as vibrant and strong as it could,
right?
You know, as the year progressed, I think people, I hate to say they got complacent, but I think we all had to adjust. You know, COVID isn't really going away anytime soon. We're going to have to adjust how we do things, you know, and I think everybody did that. Traffic's picked up, you know, And you could tell because immediately after that, you know, it seemed like the crashes picked up. And, you know, because we at the district office, we have a lot of people coming in to purchase crash reports. And,
right.
and even our admin staff noticed the uptick in that. I'm hoping it's kind of tapered off a little bit here, is, you know, because we kind of went through the lull and then there was a heavy time and then it's kind of, you know, tapering off somewhat, you know, for now. I mean, that's just natural with the winter months in this area too, you know, plus when you get the bad weather. But, you know, as a general rule, I mean, our fatalities were still very similar to last year.
Really?
I mean, we were plus three for the year. And we have really had some good, you know, we've been blessed the last several years. You know, I don't mind telling you, in Putnam County, you know, we were minus three, you know, in fatalities for the year. And all of that is you're doing things, you're out here being seen, you know, just many times the visibility of patrol cars help with that, whether it's us, Putnam County, Cookeville City,
sure.
you know, Baxter, Monterey, any of them, all good, anywhere that there's a, you know, that's always a good deterrent. And that's what, you know, you try to, you know, just keep relaying that and just the presence there. And but we're still very busy, you know, there's still things going on. And, you know, we've just had to learn to, you know, in this new era, we just had to learn to adjust. You know, I keep masks in my vehicle and gloves, you know, for mass responses. You
right.
know, for instance, if we have to go to the Capitol or something, you know, you have to, or any area that there might be some kind of unrest.
Sure.
You have to have enough, you know, to take care of your people. I hate to say it's a crazy year, but that's the word that comes to my mind.
Sure. We got one more segment left with Captain Christian here on Local Matters this Friday morning when we come back in just a moment. Welcome back to Local Matters. This has Ben Rogers and Captain Christian from the Tennessee Highway Patrol here in the Cookeville District is with me today and just giving us some great information, updating us on holiday travel and how this past holiday season was and how the travel has, you know, has it changed much through COVID? And as you said, Captain, you know, it was kind of weird. There wasn't a lot of people traveling at the first part of the COVID cycle, of the COVID pandemic, and then it's now gotten back to pretty much normal. Mm-hmm. Holiday really wasn't any different this year compared to last year as far as travel goes. COVID has affected everything and everybody, and you talked about how it's affected the operations for your office. Mm-hmm. One of the misconceptions that I was hearing throughout the year is that people were saying, well, law enforcement's not arresting anyone. They're not pulling anybody over. And that was for THP, city, county, everybody. And I'm like, that's no way. I mean, I know they're going to be cautious. Mm-hmm. Our law enforcement officers are smart enough to know how to protect themselves and mm-hmm. the person they're working with or the citizen they're working with from COVID. They're not going to go breathe on each other. They've been trained and they know. So there was a misconception that y'all wouldn't pull anybody over.
Yes, there was.
Was that true?
Not at all.
So how did y'all, when you're meeting with your staff, and we got this pandemic, what is your message to them?
You know, for one thing, I guess the main is reassurance, you know, and I guess you sit there, and I don't mind telling you, man, I sit there when this all began, you know, I thought, how are we going to maintain our focus? How are we going to do it safely? You know, because all of these people have families, you know, these troopers do, and, you know, regardless, you know, you have to look past them to think about, you know, those that are around them. And all of that came into play. You know, one of the things that I can remember quoting is, you know, each of us are very smart in how we do our jobs. You know, this has caused us, you know, to do our jobs and adapt and do it smarter. You know, we had to be smarter in our approach in everything that we did. I think to an extent, you always understood, you know, you're going to come into contact with things and, you know, COVID has just made it even, it's enlightened us even more. It's made us more aware. It's made us more cognizant of it. You know, everything combined. I guess the key thing to all of that is we still had to do our jobs and we had to provide the things for our guys to do their jobs. You know, it took a while for us to get, you think something, if I'd have known, I can't tell you how many Clorox swabs I would have put on reserve. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Right.
But, you know, we clean our vehicles, you know, after each arrest. You know, you can't stop, you know, doing the day-to-day operations of what our job entails. Because if you did, you know, things, it's just kind of like, you know, like I told you earlier, you know, those vehicles that were the excessive speed. And I know we saw that here, but I know some of the captains in the other districts was telling about some of their troopers that experienced it as well. To tell you, and there were some things that, you know, we might, you know, we would have probably done a citation in lieu of arrest type thing.
Sure.
And we got a lot of direction from, you know, our district attorney on that, and for all of district attorneys that in the counties that I have, because you had to have communication.
Absolutely.
And that was very important during those times. But they still sit there, and you know, the more serious offenses we still dealt with. And, you know, you would take them and you know, providing they were medically safe, of course, you know, and just process them like always. You know, that's inevitable. That exists. You can't just stop because crime doesn't stop.
Right.
You know, I mean whether it's, you know, I can remember, you know, the other day we had a situation on the interstate where somebody was impaired on something, you know, and were physically harming themselves. And you know, I mean, that required, you know, a trip to the hospital.
Sure.
I mean, and it was just something more broad than we could imagine. But, you know, once you think of that and you're thinking of all of the things that the troopers endure, and not only us, but law enforcement as a whole, you know, keeping us all focused, keeping us all intent in our approach, and, you know, direction is important. And I feel really serious about them needing that from me.
Right.
And I don't mind telling you, I'm one of the first ones, you know, each morning when we come into the office, you know, we start cleaning, you know, that I mean, I'm intense, you know, about it.
Right.
I have to be.
Right.
Because if I'm not, I can't expect our troopers to be.
Sure.
And that's just kind of the way that I've deployed that. But, you know, I feel safe about what we do because, you know, we have provided the things that they need to keep themselves safe. And I feel good about it, but I do feel like I need to lead by example, and I have really, really strived to do that because, like I said, their personal safety means a great deal to me.
Right.
You know, and because, you know, like I said, I know how I would feel if I took something to my family, and I know they feel the same. And, you know, we have just dealt with what's come our way, and when the guys are out, you know, we just pick up the slack and it's kind of they, you know, got to return the favor in some instances, you
right.
know, when other people in their work area has gotten ill with this. But as a general rule, just maintaining that diligence, you know, and just, you know, I took the vaccine. I don't mind telling you.
Sure.
You know, because that's another thing. If it can help, because I've seen the effects of what COVID has on our people.
Right.
I'm just trying to do things to set the example. And I think it's imperative that leaders have to do that.
Well, and I actually have down to talk to you about leadership skills
mm-hmm.
because you're in a leadership role, and,
mm-hmm.
and I'm all about leadership. I've went through two programs now, leadership through UT, and it's just you express your leadership skills just now. You told me everything I need to know, really, because good leaders lead by example,
mm-hmm.
and they're willing to do everything they're asking their people to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then also good leaders are building up leaders below them.
Right.
You know, and to be a good leader, you got to have leaders below you.
You do.
In the ranks as far as the organizational chart goes. So
succession is very important.
That is correct.
Yeah.
So you've got – how many roughly personnel do you have at this office?
We have roughly 80 in the Cookeville District, you know, I should say allotted slots for 80 personnel.
How often do you hire? How often are you advertising?
One thing that the THP has done the last couple years, you know, well, I should say, seem like we've had a class every year. I'm blessed. I'm not going to deny that. You know, most of the people that hire here, men, are really firm. They live here. They want to work here. They want to stay here.
Sure.
You know, kind of like even when I hired on and I got sent to Williamson County, eventually I worked my way back. And, you know, one thing that I'm excited about, you know, right now, January the 6th, we started. And through February the 2nd, you know, we're accepting applications. And one thing that we have done this past class that actually will be graduating Friday, so that kind of gives you an idea of the timeline. It takes about a good 9 months to a year for this whole process to go through by the time the interviewees come in and they do what they do, you know, and then they start the academy. This Friday, today, I should say, we're going to have graduation
okay.
for those people.
Sure.
And I'm excited about that, but we are hiring right now. You know, you can go to our website, tn.gov/safety, and there's actually links to show people how to do that. We had a lateral class this last time for people that's already law enforcement, you know, that's certified, 2 years certified. which they don't go as long as the regular class because a lot of the basics, you know, they're already familiar with and they have. There are plans to do that again in this class. But, you know, you can look there and it tells everything about it. In our starting salary, you know, you get a set salary, you know, before you when you start. And then you get another one, you know, you get a raise as soon as you graduate. And then you have the ability, you know, to in 10 years, you know, to max out as a full step trooper. And it's right around 62,000 is what it is. I look at the academy starting pay, you know, I see, you know, $3,153 per month. When I first started in 89, I made about $1,500 a month. And, I remember, you know, being in Williamson County, you know, one of my checks, about two-thirds of that went to rent,
right.
And that's just how it's changed through the years. And, of course, that's just the way, you know, we had to adjust. But, you know, it's the good thing about the lateral class is our troopers get to work with these local agencies, and they see, you know, the talent that's there. And we've got a lot of good officers in the Upper Cumberland,
right?
You know, that – And the only problem sometimes with getting on a patrol is they have that fear that they may have to move. And I had that back in 89.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're able to see that talent and we try to, you know, recruit from that. I mean, I'm going to be very honest with you. And hopefully, you know, in some cases we can give them a viable, you know, something that's going to improve themselves and help them, you know, provide for their families too.
Sure.
But, you know, we're always looking for good troopers. And, you know, I take the job very seriously. And you want quality applicants, you know, because, you know, the public puts a great deal of trust in us. And you know, you have to live it 24/7.
Right.
You know, I mean, you can't expect, you know, you just have to have a pristine livelihood in what you do, Ben. And,
yeah.
You know, and I don't think that's asking a whole lot.
No.
You know, I mean, and I just think it just goes with being a law enforcement officer.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and I appreciate that. We have about a minute. Are there any campaigns y'all have launched here recently for anything that the public should know?
You know, we do that, you know, yearly. We have, depending on the time of year, you know, we have certain things. I don't mind telling you the next thing, you know, that we generally have deals with the Super Bowl.
Right.
And I don't know how many fans will be, you know, and that might be something that's more interesting this year, too. You know, people will get the opportunity to see the Super Bowl. But we adjust for that,
okay.
You know, just like we do when the summer months come in, we start, you know, looking, you know, like teen drivers
sure.
are going to be out more prevalent when schools gets out. But, you know, we always look at restraint usage. And I know some people, but I have been doing this for years, and I'm telling you, seatbelts save lives.
Absolutely.
I will hammer that point to the day that I die.
Right.
I don't mind telling you that.
Right.
I have seen it. I have seen people that would have been alive today if they would have had it
sure.
on. And, you know, we're always looking for people that are speeding. And you know, we're always looking for impaired drivers,
right.
You know, whether it's alcohol or drugs. And, you know, that's been the challenge that I've seen through my 32 years. You know, that's changed. You know, and I'll just be honest with you, what we used to call the Cootie Brown drunk.
Right.
You know, don't, you know, you don't have that as much anymore. You
right.
still do. Don't
yeah.
get me wrong.
Yeah.
But, you know, our officers have had to adjust. You know, the troopers, the deputies, and the police officers have had to adjust to be able to, you know, detect that now.
Sure.
And, you know, it's ever changing. And,
yeah.
You know, we'll see what the legislature does this year because, you know, we'll get the new laws in April and May.
Right.
And we'll see what, you know, it's an ever-changing thing. And you got to be on the front row because, man, if you're sitting in the back, you'll miss the train, that's
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. And, Captain Christian, thank you. And to all your officers and all your personnel for the service y'all give us
thank
in
you.
Upper Cumberland. I appreciate you being there. I always like to see y'all out. And as my listeners, I know they appreciate everything y'all do. So thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
Hopefully you'll come back in a few months. We'll
sure.
talk about some other stuff going on. And,
okay.
and it's nice meeting you and talking to you. Hope everyone's enjoying your Friday. We're going to be back next week on Local Matters with another guest. Have a good weekend. Remember, everybody, be safe and be kind to one another. It's not that hard to do to be nice. And I just encourage you to be nice. We'll see you next week.